You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. It is Monday, the 24th of February. We are recording this at around about 4:15, and we are looking forward to tomorrow's action. We are having racing from Catterick and Lingfield. Catterick expects at 8 a.m. on race day morning, and whether or not it goes ahead or not, to be completely honest with you, there will still be a brilliant team here in the William Hill Racing Studio. Gareth Topham will be joined by Craig Forsyth and Andy Gibson to talk either Lingfield and Catterick, or just Lingfield, and we'll make sure to fill the gaps with lots of good chat as well. So plenty to look forward to on Tuesday. I'm delighted to say that on today's edition of the podcast, I'm sat in the studio opposite Paddy Aspel. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good form, Ben. Yourself?
Very good. Now, I'm sure it's cropped up once or twice in conversations today, but unfortunately, I cannot do a podcast with an Aspel without mentioning your brother. What? I'm sure you've had far more technical questions about Leighton and his retirement over the course of the day, over the course of the last 24, 48 hours. My question is slightly more generic. What was the first thing he enjoyed this morning? Would it have been a lie-in, or did he go and clean out half the McDonald's menu, knowing he doesn't have to make weight this morning? How's he been?
Not really sure how early he might have got up, because obviously there was no jump racing for any of me. So they could have maybe got quite heavy.
They could have had a few.
Yeah.
I saw some champagne was being sprayed. It might have ended up getting drunk as well. I guess the relaxation of not having to make weight and whatever has done well. But, of course, everyone here at William Hill, and everyone at William Hill Racing Radio especially, sends our best to Leighton in his retirement. The Monday podcasts into Tuesday are fairly simple and quite formulaic, actually. We're going to run through the Monday jury with Paddy, and then we're going to talk about a couple of races at Lingfield later on. So, Paddy, if you're okay, we're going to crack on with the Monday jury.
Sure, no props.
We start with Solo, who performed admirably on Saturday, ran away with the Adonis. Is he your idea of the Triumph Hurdle winner? If not, who is?
Well, I suppose it was the first time we'd seen Solo on English soil, but you couldn't help but be impressed. I think maybe there was, I won't say excuses for one or two of them in behind. Fujimoto Flyer, I think, had been given trouble down at the start, has shown temperament in the past, but you know, was a little bit keen as well. So I mean, I think in comparison to Downtown Getaway and even the Kingwell Hurdle, time wise I think the race actually stood up not too badly. Solo hurdled very well, and like I said to Wiz earlier on, I thought from the back at last actually appeared to quicken. Maybe the rivals were slowing down in behind, but I certainly don't think Solo was stopping. Very, very taking effort, and just interesting. Obviously, this ex-French recruit is still a full horse, which is something that we don't see very often.
No, normally gelded and taken care of by now.
Yeah, in this country. So, but certainly didn't see anything on Saturday that would worry me, that's for sure. I think maybe some of its rivals that is going to be taken on at Cheltenham, you would say, has had maybe some maybe some more solid Cheltenham trials. Going forward, but you know, you can't blame Solo for how that race turned out the other day, and all he could do was go and win, and he looked very, very eye-taking.
Won well enough on Saturday, though, to justify 3-1 favouritism?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not getting serious value on the back of, you know, one run in this country, but nonetheless, although beaten on debut, is 2 and 3 over hurdles, and certainly does look very, very progressive, and just nice to see Paul Nicholls going to Cheltenham with a nice one, because we were talking about the trainer betting earlier on, and so, you know, it's incredible to think that Paul Nicholls is as big as 40-1 to be leading trainer at Cheltenham.
Yeah, well, another one to keep an eye on then. Okay, so let me try and narrow you down here then. Is Solo your idea of the Triumph Hurdle winner, or are you going to go somewhere else? Let's say I'm giving you £1 of William Hill's mythical money, and you've got to place a bet on the Triumph Hurdle. Who's your £1 going on?
I think you'd be happy to go with Solo if you had a slightly better price off the back of one run. But it was very, very impressive. I think All Mankind, the Skeleton Horse, I'm just looking here at the prizes. All Mankind, I think, when I saw this horse win on at Warwick three starts back, I wouldn't have said that he was going to keep progressing the way he has done, but has won in some very, very tough conditions, especially at Chepstow last time. But the form is working out very, very nicely on both the Chepstow and the Cheltenham races. Just very, very likeable. Goshen, for me, I think, you know, Gary Moore has hidden no secret how the sort of regard he holds his horse. And I think in a better quality, faster run race, I think, although Goshen has jumped very, very badly right, he's always done that once he's hitting the he's hit the front and the race is put to bed and he's literally only just popping his way home. He has got that that sort of habit of running right at his hurdles. But his last run at Ascot, mid-race, when he was taken off of the lead and was in behind horses, he jumped perfectly straight. It was only once the race was dead and buried and over that he does this going to the right thing. So, and, you know, Gary Moore really rates this horse. And I think he's a deserving 92-second favourite. I think for me, he's maybe a little bit more battle-hardened, Goshen, and that's the type of horse I like going into a race like this. Solo, to say, you know, sort of 3-1 favourite, might just be a tad raw on it. What will be, you know, just a 4-start over hurdles. So I'd be happier to be with an ex-flat recruit in the likes of Goshen at round about 92.
Okay, price is correct at time of recording. Solo 3-1, Goshen 4-1, All Mankind 9-2, Aspire Tower 6-1, 14-1, and bigger the rest. Moving on, there were a lot of good races at the weekend. Did anything else strike you as a Cheltenham winner in waiting? And I don't mind you kind of jumping forward more than just one season here. Was there anything that really stuck your eye out for something either this festival or for one for the future?
I thought on the same card, Downtown Getaway,
okay,
was very tough. Was given a real bold ride by Nico because he took a lead early doors, but you know, once he jumped four hurdles, he decided to let this chap bowl away, and he was very positive from the front. And like Palmer's Hill of John Joe's, he got the much better and much more fluent jump at the last,
okay,
and you'd have said it was enough to seal it. So he really had to dig deep. He was in receipt of £2 from the second, but I just really did like his attitude because he had to dig very, very deep, and you know, they put a little bit of a gap back to the Twist and Davis horse in behind, but it was just his resolution, you know, with a bit of weight on his back, having been positively ridden. You know, the Downtown Getaway, I think, has been quite a shrewd purchase for Connections, because won his bumper at Fairy House for the Mags Mullins team. But look, they've had to put their hand in the pocket and pay a few quid for this chap. But yeah, I thought that was very, very likeable, Downtown Getaway. I'm not really sure where he's going to head at the festival, but that was very, very likeable.
Downtown Getaway is 20-1 to win any race at the festival, regardless of which one he's appeared in. So that's maybe a little bit of early value if we're unsure of where Downtown Getaway may appear. Okay, then let's keep this one nice and simple. Who is your Cheltenham Festival banker?
Well, another one here. I'm not really sure where. Oh, I'm not going to put him as my banker up because we've got our anything else question as well, haven't we? So I'm going to leave him for that.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, we do.
So for me, I think I've been very, very impressed with the horse of Henry de Bromhead's Notebook.
Notebook, okay.
I think he's RSA bound, isn't he? I'll just get him up here. He is. He is fav, but been very, very good so far this year. Have you got him there?
Notebook. Let me just hit the search button. I've got 800 things on the go here. Notebook is listed in the Arkle Chase on the 10th of March as 11 to 4 Fav.
Yeah, the Arkle, that was the one. It wasn't the RSA at all. Yeah, I've been very, very impressed with this chap. One thing is about... there he is, yeah. I mean, he's 11 to 4. Next in is Fakir Dudaree.
Yeah.
Now, they've been butting heads in Ireland throughout the winter. And, you know, Notebook... He has beaten him and given weight to Fakir Dudaree. He looks to me like he's going to make a far better chaser than what he did over hurdles. He was no bat number over hurdles, but it's just he's got plenty of size about him, and he is just so good on his feet. I've been so impressed with Notebook, how he jumps, and you know he's jumping around some big tracks in Ireland as well. So for me, I think it's a lovely price at around about 11 to 4 for the Arkle. It'll be a tough race, and obviously it's a big, big ask, but you know I've seen very, very few chinks in this chap's armour. So Notebook for me.
Interesting that you put Notebook up in the bankers part of this Monday jury, because actually a lot of people would immediately go to something like Paisley Park or Tiger Roll in their respective races, but you found a little bit of value there in your banker. Is that about right? Would you rather take that 11 to 4 than the shorter price on, say, Paisley Park?
Well, yeah, because at the end of the day, it's Cheltenham, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Paisley Park is, we spoke about him earlier, he's a very, very deserving favourite. And, you know, his price reflects on, you know, the sort of performances he's put in on both occasions when we've seen him this winter. And I certainly think now that they really do know how to ride this horse. They've got to wait as long as possible. You know, because he's a good traveller. And if he does hit the front too soon, he does tend to doss a little bit. So, but, yeah, he's deserving favourite, but for me, I just think Notebook. I think the De Bromhead Novice Chasers full stop this season have been incredible, and they generally always do tend to jump very, very nicely. And it was just literally off the back of that performance when Notebook. Now, the one thing I would sort of worry about him is when he ran the last day at Leopardstown. He was very, very buzzed up beforehand. He borderline bolted to the start. He actually went, when they come out the horse gate, he went the wrong way, running down hill at Leopardstown, and he almost got away on Rachel. She did very, very well to anchor him. He's a big, big, strong lad. So I just hope on the day he will handle preliminaries, because that's going to be, for me, that's probably the biggest doubt about Notebook. If he behaves himself and everything goes okay, I think he will be incredibly difficult to beat. The only thing that for me at the minute would get him beat is himself, if you know what I mean.
I know, yeah, I like that. Yeah, yeah, it's a good way around of thinking of it. For others, it could be tactics, it could be conditions, whatever, but Notebook is only really up against Notebook in a certain way.
Yeah, you know, so maybe you might be better off just hanging fire as long as possible to actually see how we handle it. I mean, look, he's not going to go much shorter.
No.
This is the Arkle. But you've got to see how he handles preliminaries, because obviously there's going to be a big crowd, as there was at Leopardstown, but you would imagine that the way the track is laid out at Cheltenham, there's going to be a lot more furore with that walkway. They don't have any of that at Leopardstown, but he still got very buzzed up, whereas there's going to be a good bit more going on. And Ruby Walsh made the point with Liddy Hislop on the TV the other week. He says that's my biggest worry about this chap, is he's got to handle the before bit, the race itself could be the easy part. It's the before.
Getting into the start and going from there on.
Okay, then,
let's move on then and give us one at a bigger price for the meeting. You said you already had one in your mind for that.
Yeah, it obviously depends on which race he's going to go for, but apparently Jamie Codd and Derek O'Connor have been pretty busy on the phone to Colin Tizard.
Okay.
About riding his horse, just trying to get the betting up, whether, because he's in the 4 miler, Copperhead.
There we go,
that's the one. He's in the 4 miler, but I'm pretty sure he's got some other entries as well.
I've got a National Hunt Chase entry and the RSA Chase both listed on williamhill.com. Copperhead is in amongst both of them.
Yeah, that's where I'm pretty sure the guys were, both O'Connor and Jamie Codd, were trying to get connections to run this chap in the four miler, because they were very, very keen to ride. Was very, very impressed with this chap the other day at Ascot under young Jonjo. Cleared away and won very, very nicely in the end. Was very, very impressive, to be honest. And you know, that is a big indicator for me that the likes of them guys are on the phone. He's round about an 8. Yeah, he's 8-1 shot
For both.
Is he 8-1
for both? For both the RSA and the National Hunt.
Yeah, just looks very, very progressive, this chap. He's reasonably low mileage, and it's a big indicator, because you know them guys, obviously they've ridden in so many of these good amateur races, especially at the festival. They know the type of horse that it takes to win it. So really, really interesting to me that connections actually came out with that the other day to say that both the guys had been on the phone wondering where they were going to go, and if they did go down this route, they'd be very, very keen to ride. So yeah, round about 8-1 Copperhead, if he was to run in the four miler, I think he'd have an outstanding chance for me.
Copperhead, then. I like the sound of that. Nice price as well at 8-1. The next question is a bit difficult with the weather around. Who do you like the look of this week? We may only lose quite a few meetings. Well, Catterick tomorrow will inspect at 8 o'clock. So, is there an easy answer to this? Who do you like the look of this week?
Well, I would echo what you say there as regards to weather, because I would be looking towards Donny on Friday.
Okay.
And there was a mare of Lucy Wadham's called Miss Heritage, and she absolutely bolted up at Huntingdon. It was within the last week, but she absolutely bolted up. So connections have been very, very sharp and got the book out and got this mare entered up again. Now she's in a handicap, the 3:40 Doncaster on Friday, in against her own sex, and it's a series final qualifier. But just looking at the sort of fashion that she got the job done the other day off of Mark at 1:15, and the money came literally 2 minutes before it off. She was absolutely smashed off the boards. But just conditions on the day were horrendous. Even for a track like Huntingdon, it was taking a bit of getting. But she had the race sewn up going to the second last, and she's ended up winning by well over 20 lengths. Absolutely bolted up. Very, very shrewd connection. She's only 6-year-old, but she's a very, very consistent mare. So be interesting to see. You'd imagine that Lucy's probably got no choice but to get this filly out, or get this mare out, should I say. And judging by the way she won the other day, she's a mare absolutely in peak form at the minute, so I'd be happy to be with her at Donny on Friday.
Interesting then. Now there is one more question in the Monday jury, but we're running very low on time. I already know that I can see horses in the parade ring for the next at Southall, so we're going to skip the last question and go straight on to tomorrow's racing, if that's okay with you, Paddy.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of races to talk about at Lingfield. The 2:30 is something that you wanted to look at first. It's the opening race of the Lingfield card. 2:30 Calidus Mirabalis is 3-1 favourite. 130 for Believe in Love. Glorious Season 9-2. 9-2 also for Visibility. Lisbeth 5-1. 10-1 Eventful, and 14-1 Goddess of Fire. It is 1 mile, 1 mile, 2 furlongs, 7 runners going to post. Which is the selection here, Paddy?
Well, I've actually gone for a Joseph O'Brien double tomorrow.
Okay.
He's got Oisin Murphy on both his horses, but Calidus Mirabalis stays this trip, has won over this far, and is in search of the hat-trick tomorrow. I mean, he's obviously started life off handicapping off a very, very workable mark, because really, as a 2-year-old, didn't show a great deal, only glimmers, no more than that. So has certainly started off life at the right end of the handicap. Is up to a mark now of 64, but I thought got a very, very nice ride at Chelmsford last time, over 1.25 miles, and Joseph O'Brien comes back over this side of the water again, but instead at Lingfield. But like I said, he has booked Oisin Murphy to ride both. She's not badly berthed in 4, albeit it's a class 5, it's reasonably poor money. It's interesting that he has bothered to fetch some runners over here tomorrow, and interesting that he's booked Oisin Murphy on board. But the first leg of the hopeful double is Calidus Mirabalis.
Does that make Darth Vader in the 4 o'clock the other select?
Yeah, now this is one, you know, same category, low mileage, and is actually having its first go in a handicap. But Oisin Murphy rides this one also. And has got top weight to carry, but looks very, very progressive, this son of Dark Angel. He's 2-3 on an artificial surface, and I mean, it's only a 7 start tomorrow, but you know, has very rarely finished out of the money, and I think this could be a bit of placing. Some better prize money on offer for this class 3 here, just over 7 grand to the winner. But another one here who isn't desperately badly drawn either in stall 5, because there is only 7 runners, but certainly looks open to a bit more improvement.
Dark Vader then, 5-4 market leader of the 4 o'clock Lingfield, 6 furlongs handicap. It's 3-1 and bigger down the card. Achterada is 3-1. Hamish Macbeth 4-1. 15-2 for Lexington Rebel. 12-1. Here we go again. Dazzling Dez 14-1. And I'm Digby 20-1. Racing on Tuesday is due to go ahead from Lingfield and Catterick. Catterick subject to that 8 a.m. inspection. That just about brings us to the end of the podcast. Paddy, thanks ever so much for joining us.
No problem, Ben.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.